This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Tens of thousands of South Korean medical trainees go on strike as the nation's COVID-19 case count spikes. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Hospital interns and residents have walked off the job to protest government reforms to the country's medical schools. South Korean government officials say, though, the health system can't afford to have any doctors away from their posts as the nation grapples with a growing number of COVID-19 infections. Over the last 24 hours, 320 new cases have been reported, the latest rise in nearly 2 weeks of triple-digit increases. The nation's health minister, Park Nyung-ho, has issued a return-to-work order and threatened legal action for those who refuse.
The government now has no choice but to take necessary legal action, such as an order to get back to work and to not put the citizens' lives and safety in danger.
Today is one of 3 days of strike action in South Korea. From Seoul, the BBC's Laura Bicker explains why the doctors are so opposed to reform.
The government is calling for more doctors. More doctors always seems like a good idea, doesn't it? However, what the trainee doctors have told me in a statement that they've sent to me is that they feel that it would add too much competition, that already they are competing for places, especially at the most prestigious hospitals and university places. They feel that 4,000 more doctors is just far too much. Also, the government's proposing that they work within public health sectors. They say that that is government overstepping its mark, stepping in to the medical profession. So I think it's more a case of doctors feeling put out that they perhaps haven't been consulted and that they feel that the government's making this a recommendation by decree, that they are not looking at the medical profession overall.
Even despite this walkout today, there are still doctors in hospitals treating COVID patients. And obviously the aim of these reforms is to better prep the health system to cope with crises like coronavirus. But the strike has had an impact on the treatment that they can provide, hasn't it? That some hospitals have limited their hours.
Yeah, so at least 5 major hospitals have limited their hours. They have postponed major surgeries. It may have a long-term impact, certainly over the next few weeks and months, as they try to catch up. When it comes to the impact with regards to coronavirus, a deal was reached with the government that doctors would continue to treat COVID-19 patients, and that is still going ahead. But there's no doubt, certainly, that the knock-on effect can be slightly devastating for certain patients who are waiting.
Does it seem like the doctors and the government will come to some sort of agreement?
At the moment, it doesn't look likely. Both sides feel very entrenched. And despite that they're under that kind of return to work order, despite the fact that the government is threatening punishment, they are still going on strike action. And from the statements that they're sending me, it doesn't look like they're ready to back down anytime soon.
The BBC's Laura Bicker in Seoul. Thank you.
Thank you.
Checking financial markets, global shares are little changed this morning. In Germany, economic measures to support those out of work due to the coronavirus pandemic have been extended by a year. The program, which covers more than half a worker's wages, was used by nearly 7 million people at the height of the crisis in April. Meanwhile, oil prices are stable as the U.S. prepares for Hurricane Laura. Crude producers have evacuated 310 offshore facilities, taking 1.5 million barrels of crude output a day offline, according to Reuters. UK office workers have been slow to get back to the office as coronavirus lockdowns eased. Research by one staffing company called Manpower Group showed 73% of workers here had a negative sentiment about going back to work. It's a far higher percentage than in France, Spain, and Italy. The BBC's Vishala Sripathma explores what that means for the future of office space in city centres.
So, team meeting last week, we had the opportunity to introduce James to most of the team.
Andrew Dakers is the chief executive of West London Business. After 15 years, it's decided to close its office doors permanently after remote working during the pandemic proved to be a success.
Over the past 2 months, we've found as a team we've adapted quite comfortably to the whole organisation working from home. And now really we struggle with justifying why we continue to use our office space.
How much does it cost to, say, have a person at home working from a laptop versus somebody in the office?
I mean, I think co-working probably in London now ranges from probably at the low end about £100 a month through to probably around £1,000 a month per staff member. So there's a fair saving to be had for any small business.
It's not just small organisations like West London Business that are making these types of changes. The stockbroker Schroders has said they will reduce the number of employees in the office, and several other financial institutions say many of their staff will continue working from their kitchen table until 2021. I'm here at Office Design Group, Peldon Rose, which work with companies like Pret and Heineken. Jitesh Patel is the group's chief executive officer.
We're going through quite a sensitive time where people are really concerned about job security, the size of their businesses, where their businesses will be in another few more months' time. Footprints we're looking at are sometimes smaller. Very few businesses are saying we want larger space. Some businesses are saying we'll have less people, but the same space we're going to shift. We're going to change our shift and working patterns.
Offices in the future may not feature so prominently in city skylines, and as the uncertainty around the pandemic persists, businesses may well have to be creative in the way they draw people to the centre once again. This is the BBC's Vishala Sripathma for Marketplace.
Well, what are your plans for returning to work? Have you already gone back into the office, or will you stay away until next year? Let us know. I'm at Victoria Craig on Twitter, and don't forget the hashtag BBC Marketplace. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.